coming up on Locked On Dodgers. In honor of the Dodgers finally retiring Fernando Valenzuela's number, we're going... Okay, I'm going to have to remember to edit that out. Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, in honor of the Dodgers finally deciding to retire Fernando Valenzuela's number 34, we're going to talk about the other 11 Dodgers who've had their numbers retired, and we're going to talk about a concept that I call the retired number bandit. So that's what's on tap. Let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Dodger fans, this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time watching or listening, I am Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio, although it's just me today. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And with that said, let's go ahead and get started. As I said at the top, we're going to talk about retired numbers today. Vince talked a little bit on Monday's episode about the Dodgers retiring Fernando Valenzuela's number. They finally announced that at FanFest on Saturday. And obviously, long overdue, we have advocated many times on this podcast for the Dodgers to go ahead and retire Fernando's number. It's been unofficially retired for over 30 years, and it was time to officially do it. There's plenty of time to argue about what this means for the future. Does this mean that they'll also retire Steve Garvey and Oral Hershiser and, you know, a handful of other guys? But those are all arguments for another day, because on its merits, I don't think anybody disagrees with the idea of retiring Fernando's number, even if some people are concerned that it will lead to retiring too many numbers. Fernando himself, they hadn't issued it anyway. There was no reason not to. And he transcends baseball, transcends Dodger baseball. He was a legend, still is a legend with the Dodgers and the LA community, the Mexican and Mexican-American community in LA, the Spanish-speaking community in general, and his work as a broadcaster, just absolutely long overdue. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about retired numbers that the Dodgers have. Fernando will be their 12th retired number. They also have two microphones hanging up there in the retired number section for Vin Scully and Jaime Herrin. The only Hall of Famers who the Dodgers haven't retired who are Dodgers in the Hall of Fame are Zach Wheat and Dazzy Vance. And that's because both of them played before the Dodgers did uniform numbers. And so there's nothing to retire. Some teams have gone ahead and honored them in some way, honored their players who played before retired numbers. Dodgers haven't done that with Wheat and Vance. Maybe they will at some point, although probably not at this point. But 12 official retired numbers once they do retire Fernando's this summer. And I'm going to talk about them, but I specifically want to take a different angle. I think I mentioned this once before. I am finishing up my first book. I'm writing a book about what I call retired number bandits, which is a retired number bandit is somebody who wears a retired number after the person it's retired for, but before it was retired. The most famous example is with Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson's number 42. Obviously, the Dodgers have retired that. All of baseball has retired that. But in 1969, for some reason, 13 years after after Jackie Robinson had retired, the number hadn't been issued since then. And for some reason, in 1969, it was accidentally given to rookie Ray Lamb. And then didn't last very long. They took it back out of circulation and officially retired it 3 years later. But Ray Lamb wore number 42 after Jackie Robinson did for the Dodgers. That's an example of a retired number bandit. And the Dodgers Fernando will be only the fifth out of the 12 retired numbers to not have any bandits. It'll just be Fernando, Sandy Koufax, Tommy Lasorda, and Walter Alston, which makes sense. They were both managers who had their numbers retired, you know, shortly after they stopped wearing them. And then Jim Gilliam, who also makes sense because he was a coach and had his number retired immediately after he passed away. So those five are the only five without any retired number bandits. And so it's just a concept that I've kind of been fascinated with for several years and decided to finally write my book about it. Let me just quickly explain what a retired number bandit is not. A bandit has to have worn the number after the person for whom it was retired first put it on. So Willie Mays for the Giants. In 1952, Willie Mays was in the military, and Mario Picone wore number 24 for the Giants while Willie Mays was in the military. He is a bandit. Ray Lamb is a bandit. Tim Conroy for the A's. He wore number 24 when he was teammates with Ricky Henderson on the A's. Ricky Henderson was wearing number 35 at the time. And so Ricky Henderson didn't wear 24 for the A's until he came back to the A's in 1989. And it was eventually number 24 that the A's retired. But Tim Conroy wore it before Ricky Henderson did. Even though Henderson was on the team, he wore it before Henderson wore number 24. So he isn't a bandit. Neither is George Jeffcoat, who wore number 42 before Jackie Robinson wore it for the Dodgers. It's only after the player wore it and before it was retired, if that makes sense. Let's go ahead and talk about some of these guys. I'm just going to go in number order for the 12 numbers the Dodgers have retired. We'll talk about who it's retired for and what retired number of bandits there are, if any. And starting with number one, Pee Wee Reese. So Pee Wee Reese played with the Dodgers from 1940 to 42, and then he was in the military, and then 1946 to 1959. He played with the Dodgers. He wasn't elected to the Hall of Fame until 1984. And at that point, the Dodgers did officially retire the number after he was elected to the Hall of Fame by the Veterans Committee in 1984. They had stopped issuing number one in 1981. But before they did that, six different people wore number one after Pee Wee Reese. So Pee Wee Reese has six retired number bandits. Two of those happened while he was in the military. I mentioned he played from 40 to 42 and then again 46 to 59. In between, while he was in World War II, Paul Wehner and Mike Sandlock both wore number one. And so those count as retired number bandits because Reese had already worn the number for the Dodgers. After Pee Wee Reese's career, four more players wore the number. Billy Grabarkiewicz, Rick Auerbach, Daryl Thomas, and Gary Weiss. And so Pee Wee Reese has six retired number bandits. His number has been retired since July 1st, 1984, and hasn't been issued since 1981. I'm going to come back in a minute. I've got 11 more guys to talk about, so I am looking forward to that. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please continue to keep it Locked On Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. So download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. One of the lines I'm looking at that I think is kind of cool, there's a lot of options. Like you can get pretty granular. If you say, I want to bet on how many receiving yards Travis Kelce is going to have, then you can look at FanDuel and there's different options you could bet on. You can bet that he's going to have at least 25 yards receiving. Problem with that is you'd have to bet $4,500 just to make $100. So it's not really worth betting that much. The line where you start kind of where it crosses over from being likely to unlikely, at least according to the betting odds, is around between 80 and 90 yards. 80 yards, it's a minus 114, which means you bet $114 and you win $100. And then 90 plus yards is plus 138. So if you bet $100, you win $138. You can go all the way up to 150 yards at a plus 880. And that's not a bad one. You know, if you were to bet $100 that Travis Kelce would have 150 yards receiving, and he does, you win, you get your $100 back plus $880. That's a decent bet. So a lot of really cool granular things like that on FanDuel. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, I am back. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. When you're done here for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. I was supposed to have this FanDuel overlay on the whole time I was reading that FanDuel ad, so I'm just going to leave it up for a minute to make up for not getting up till the end of the ad read. Hopefully that's good enough. Jumping back into our retired number talk, we talked about Pee Wee Reese. Moving on, as you know, we're talking about retired number bandits, guys who wore a retired number after the player for whom it's retired and before it was retired. Tom Lasorda, number two, I mentioned he is one of only five Dodger retiree numbers that hasn't had any bandits. That's because Tom Lasorda wore it up through 1996. He was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1997, and his number was retired in 1997. And so the Dodgers clearly knew Lasorda was going to the Hall of Fame, and they did the wise thing and didn't issue his number to anybody else after he retired. Let's move on to Duke Snider, number four. Duke was—he played with the Dodgers from 1947 to 1962. He was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1980. The Dodgers issued his number up through 1978, and then they officially retired it in July of 1980. So he had three retired number bandits. Duke Snider, of course, was the third best center fielder in New York in the 1950s behind Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. Still plenty good to make the Hall of Fame, although he didn't make it till his 11th ballot in 1980. His number four was retired in 1980. But before that, it had been worn by Tom Hutton, Kevin Paisley, and Bill North, three guys you probably never even heard of, but they all wore number four after Duke Snider did before it was retired. Moving on, Gil Hodges is a really interesting one simply because he didn't make the Hall of Fame until last year, and so his number wasn't retired until last year. And for a long time, it seemed like he wasn't going to make the Hall of Fame, and so the Dodgers just kept on issuing that number. So ultimately, Gil Hodges played with the Dodgers from 1943 and then 47 through 61, but the number was issued all the way up through 2020. And 22 different players wore the number after Gil Hodges. So he has 22 retired number bandits, and they are almost every year. There is a number 14 after Gil Hodges last wore it in 1961. Ken McMullen in 62, Bill Skowron in 63, Johnny Werhaus 64 to 67, Len Gabrielson, 67 to 70. Tom Haller, 71. Chris Cannizzaro, 72 to 73. Yvonne De Jesus, 74 to 76. Von Joshua, 79. Mike Socha, 80 to 92. Delino DeShields, 94 to 96. F.P. Santangelo, 2000. Jeff Rebele, 2001, 2002. Larry Barnes, 2003. Bill Miller, 2006. Mike Lieberthal, 2007. Chin Lung Hu, 2008. Pablo Ozuna, also 2008. Juan Castro, 2009, Jamie Carroll, 2010, 2011, Mark Ellis, 2012, 2013, Dan Heron, 2014, and Kike Hernandez, 2015 to 2020. It wasn't until after Kike left that the Dodgers stopped issuing that number, and now it is retired finally, and so there will be no more bandits, but 22 is among the highest number of bandits of any retired number in baseball. Definitely the highest for the Dodgers. Up next is Jim Gilliam. Jim Gilliam, of course, has no bandits because he was a Dodgers player for a player and coach for a total of 26 years from 1953 to 1978. And he unfortunately died suddenly in 1978, just before his 50th birthday. He was an active coach with the Dodgers at the time, and the Dodgers immediately retired his number 19. And so he never had any retired number bandits. Up next is Don Sutton at number 20. He played with the Dodgers from 1966 to 1980, and then again briefly in 1988. He wasn't elected to the Hall of Fame until 1998 on his fifth or sixth try getting elected. Between 1980 and 1998, when the Dodgers finally retired his number, they issued it to 11 different players, including himself one time, or not including himself, 11 players besides Don Sutton wearing his own number when he came back in 1988. Those guys were Candy Maldonado, Larry C., Ed Amelung, Phil Garner, Mike Davis, Willie Randolph, Brian Traxler, Darren Holmes, Mitch Webster, Mike Blowers, and Darren Lewis. So 11 retired number bandits for Don Sutton, but it was officially retired August 14th, 1998, and obviously hasn't been worn since then. Actually, hasn't been worn since 1997 because Sutton, in the offseason after 97, that's when it was announced that he had been elected, and so the Dodgers stopped issuing the number at that point. Up next is Walter Alston, another one who was a manager. He managed until 1976 and was his number was retired in 1977, which is kind of interesting. It's an exception to the Dodgers rule because he wasn't elected to the Hall of Fame until 1983. The Dodgers had already retired his number. I think it was assumed that he would be elected to the Hall of Fame, and maybe they weren't quite as strict on their Hall of Fame requirement back then. It was, you know, just a year before they retired Gilliam's number. But yeah, so nobody wore it after Walter Alston, so he has no bandits. Similarly, Sandy Koufax, number 32, has no bandits, but that's because everybody knew Sandy Koufax was a Hall of Famer when he retired. And so he played with the Dodgers from 1955 to 1966, was elected in his first year of eligibility to the Hall of Fame in 1972. The number hadn't been issued since 1966, and it was officially retired on June 4th, 1972, just under 5 years before I was born, and just under 39 years before I named my son after Sandy Koufax. My youngest son's middle name is Koufax. But yeah, so no retired number bandits for Sandy Koufax because everybody knew he was going to be in the Hall of Fame and get his number retired. They likely would have retired it even sooner, but they went ahead and waited till the Hall of Fame. In fact, Koufax was the first in the first group of players to have their numbers retired. On June 4th, 1972, it was Koufax and Roy Campanella and Jackie Robinson all retired together on that date. The Dodgers hadn't retired any numbers before that. And so they took the opportunity of Koufax making the Hall of Fame to go ahead and retire all three of those numbers. We will talk more about Campanella and Jackie Robinson in just a minute. Then we get to number 34. Fernando obviously was with the Dodgers 1980 to 1990. He's been with the Dodgers since 2003 as a broadcaster. He is a legend in Los Angeles. And because of that, everybody knew not to give his number to anybody else after he left the Dodgers. It had not been worn. It will never be worn again, as Stan Kasten announced on Saturday that the Dodgers are officially finally retiring the number of Fernando Valenzuela. It is a great, great decision, long overdue, and I am so happy for Fernando, and I'm happy that the Dodgers had the good sense not to issue the number after Fernando left, knowing that it should and would eventually be retired. I'm going to come back in just a minute and finish off this list, talk some more about some retired number bandits. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please continue to keep it Locked On Dodgers. All right, I'm back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen. If you're watching on YouTube, I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments section down on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you through social media or email or voicemail or text or however you choose to. I'll give you all the contact info at the end, like I always do. With that said, let's finish up our list of retired number bandits for the Dodgers. We have three retired numbers left and five retired number bandits to talk about. Roy Campanella, number 39. Campy played with the Dodgers from 1948 to 1957 and was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1969. the Dodgers issued his number through 1967 and didn't officially retire it until, as I said, June 4th, 1972, along with Koufax and Jackie Robinson. Campanella made the Hall of Fame despite only spending 10 years in the big leagues. Part of his late start was because he was playing in the Negro Leagues starting when he was 15. He didn't make his big league debut until he's 26. And then obviously, I guess maybe not obviously, I assume people know the story of Roy Campanella, but maybe you don't. His career was tragically cut short in January 1958 as the Dodgers were getting ready to play their first game in Los Angeles after moving from Brooklyn. He was in a car accident that fractured his neck and left him paralyzed at the age of 36. He continued to be in the Dodgers organization as a catching instructor and an ambassador for most of the rest of his life. But when he did get to play in the big leagues, he was awesome. He won three MVP awards, made the All-Star team eight times, and he died in 1993 at the age of 71. Like I said, he had been elected to the Hall of Fame in 1969, and they retired his number in 1972. But before it was retired, it was worn by Ken Rowe, Howie Reed, and Bob Lee. It's funny how many of these retired number bandits are people that you never even heard of. They just kind of randomly, sure, you can wear Roy Campanella's number, Bob Lee. And then they got wise, stopped issuing it, and eventually retired it. Jackie Robinson, number 42, I mentioned at the top, his one retired number bandit was Ray Lamb. It was confusing why it was given to him. I think it was probably an accident. And then, like I said, with Koufax and Campanella in 1972, Jackie's number was retired. He was nearly blind by that time due to complications from diabetes and heart disease. And he died less than 4 months after his number was retired at the age of 52. Jackie Robinson, obviously a Dodgers legend, a baseball legend, an American legend, the only player for whom every team has retired the number 42, will never be worn by anybody else in Major League Baseball except on Jackie Robinson Day each year, which is a wonderful way to honor Jackie Robinson. And it's pretty cool that he was a Dodger, that the Dodgers have his number up there because he earned it in their uniform. But obviously, Jackie Robinson's qualifications for the Hall of Fame and retired number status and American legend and everything else go far beyond anything that he did in a baseball uniform and the way that he paved the way for so many players who have come since then. It's awesome. And it is a little bit of a bummer that Ray Lamb was a retired number bandit. I'm sure Ray Lamb feels bad about it too. And never intended to steal Jackie Robinson's number. So if he could change it, I'm sure he would. Our last retired number for the Dodgers, number 53, Don Drysdale. This one's interesting too. There's only one retired number bandit. Drysdale played with the Dodgers from 1956 through 1969 and then retired. Didn't get elected to the Hall of Fame until 1984. It took him a few tries. But the Dodgers seemed to understand that he was going to be a Hall of Famer because they stopped issuing his number, except they accidentally issued it one time. In 1970, just the year after Drysdale retired, they issued it to rookie Tom Pashorek. Tom Pashorek went on to have a long career, only 4 or 5 years with the Dodgers, but eventually played for a long time. I know he played for the White Sox when I was a kid. That's what I think of him as, because his 1984 Topps card, he was on the White Sox, and that's how I judge what team a player's on, which is why, even though I'm a Dodger fan, I think of Steve Garvey's a Dodger as a Padre because that's who was on in 1984 Topps. But anyway, back to Don Drysdale. He only played 14 years. He was outstanding for the 14 years that he did play, but it took him 10 years on the Hall of Fame ballot because he had such a short career. He and Sandy Koufax were linked quite a bit together during their playing careers. They started around the same time. Koufax debuted in 55. Drysdale in 56, and then Koufax retired after 1966 season, Drysdale after 1969 season, and so a lot of similarities between the two. Koufax was the better pitcher, which is why he was elected in his first year of eligibility, but Drysdale was very, very good, very deserving of the Hall of Fame, later was a broadcaster for the Dodgers, and died young. I don't remember how young he was now that I'm thinking about it, when he passed away, but in his 50s, I believe, died in a hotel room in Montreal when he was supposed to be. They found out when he didn't show up to the stadium to call the baseball game. They sent somebody to his hotel room and found he had died. And so a legend gone way too soon. One of the things he's most famous for, in 1968, he threw 58 consecutive scoreless innings, a record that stood until 1988 when Oral Hershiser broke the record, kept that in the Dodger family. Drysdale, very deserving Hall of Famer, and for some reason, Tom Pashorek got his number briefly in 1970. That's the Dodgers' 12 retired numbers and their retired number bandits. It's, like I said, it's a concept that I came up with a name. I didn't come up with a concept. I might have been the first person to write about it specifically in those terms. But like I said, I am finishing up my book about it that'll be available, you know, hopefully in the next month or two. But it was, I thought it would be fun with no big news going on in Dodgers land. We're kind of waiting out the stretch until spring training starts next week. People will start reporting spring training next week. That'll be fun. Later this week, I'm going to have a sit down with Keith Law of The Athletic to talk about his Dodgers prospect list. He named the Dodgers the top farm system in baseball. According to him, there are 8 Dodgers on his top 100 list. We're going to talk about his Dodgers top 10, a lot of stuff about Dodgers prospects. So that should be fun. We're recording that on Thursday afternoon. He and I just scheduled it on Tuesday afternoon. So Thursday afternoon, we record it. So we will drop that on Friday morning, at least the first part. Depends on how long we talk. We may split it into a couple episodes, but you can look forward to that on Friday. Between now and then, today's Wednesday, which means just one episode between those. You know, hopefully Vince and I will be together maybe tomorrow. We'll see. It's been a while since we've recorded a podcast together, so that would be fun. But either way, one of us or both of us will be here every weekday morning because that's what we do. And we want to thank you again for joining us every weekday morning here on Locked On Dodgers. It really does mean a lot to us when you make us your first listen. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. If you're not watching and listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, we'd love if you had 1 or 2 days a month of your rotation. If you have friends and family who love the Dodgers, please tell them about the show. Obviously, if you haven't subscribed, whoever you're watching and listening, please do that. Subscriptions help. It helps you remember to watch or listen, and it helps us get more eyeballs and earballs on our podcast, which we love doing. So you can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.